Nadia moves from Colombia to Olympia, makes a genuine home there, waits out the residency period, and files for divorce. Her husband, Theo, stays in Colombia. He is served by mail and never appears. Olympia grants the divorce and, in the same decree, orders Theo to pay alimony and hands Nadia the Colombia house. Half of that decree is worthless. Theo is genuinely single, and every state must recognize it. But Olympia had no power over his wallet, so the alimony and house orders are void. One decree, two answers, because a court ending a marriage is doing three separate jobs, and it can have power to do one without the others. Here is the root. First, the three ways a marriage ends or changes, and the grounds. Then, annulment, and the void versus voidable line. Then, jurisdiction, where our opening lives. Then, dividing the property, which is mostly a classification problem. Then, spousal support, and finally, what can be modified later and what is locked in. Start with the frame, because it organizes everything. When a marriage ends, a court does three separate jobs. It ends the legal status. It splits the property and debts. And it decides ongoing support. Different rules, different tracks, different sources of power. Job 1. The status. A divorce ends a valid marriage going forward, so the parties become single and free to remarry. A legal separation does not end it at all. The spouses stay married, but live apart under a court order allocating support and property, and neither may remarry. An annulment is different in kind. It declares that a valid marriage never existed because something was legally wrong at the wedding. Divorce looks forward and says this good marriage is over. Annulment looks backward and says this was never a good marriage. Now, grounds. Every state offers a no-fault divorce, and it is how the overwhelming majority proceed. Neither spouse has to prove misconduct. It is enough that the marriage is irretrievably broken. Some states require the couple to live separate and apart for a set period first, and one spouse's insistence that the marriage is broken is generally enough. Many states kept the old fault grounds as an alternative. Why bother? A fault divorce may skip a mandatory separation period, and in some states, fault tilts the property division or alimony. Recognize the classics: adultery, cruelty that endangers health, desertion, habitual drunkenness, imprisonment for a serious crime. The old defenses mostly show up now as distractors. Recrimination, where the spouse asking is also at fault. Condonation, forgiveness plus resumed relations. Connivance, where the innocent spouse helped set up the misconduct. And provocation. Collusion is the one that still matters. The spouses secretly agreed to fabricate grounds and trick the court. That is a fraud on the court and a ground for attacking the decree later. And one thread. In fault states, abuse supplies a cruelty ground and undercuts defenses raised against the victim. Now, annulment. And one distinction you must know cold. Void or merely voidable. A void marriage is invalid from the very beginning by operation of law. No decree is needed to make it a nullity. Anyone with an interest can challenge it at any time, even after a spouse has died. A voidable marriage is valid unless and until a court annuls it. Only the parties can seek the annulment, and only while both are alive. And it can be ratified. If the injured spouse learns of the problem and keeps living as married, the right to annul is lost. Test it. A man dies, and his children discover his marriage was voidable because he was too intoxicated at the ceremony to consent. Can they annul it and cut the widow out? No. Only a party may attack a voidable marriage and never after death. He died legally married. Sort the grounds. Void is short. Bigamy, where a party was already married to a living spouse, and incest. Voidable is longer. Nonage, lack of capacity from intoxication, mental illness, or duress. Physical incapacity unknown to the other spouse. And fraud. But not every lie annuls a marriage. The majority rule requires fraud going to the essentials, something central to the marital and procreative relationship. Concealing an intent never to have children, hiding a current pregnancy by another, a sham marriage with no intent to live as spouses. Lies about money or temperament do not qualify. So Ravi may annul when Priya concealed that she never intended to have children, which they had agreed was the point of marrying. He may not if she merely exaggerated her salary.
One piece of mercy. The putative spouse doctrine stated in the Uniform Marriage and Divorce Act, Section 209, someone who went through a ceremony and cohabited in good faith, not knowing of the impediment, is treated as a legal spouse while that belief lasts. Once they learn the truth, the protection stops accruing. And children of an annulled marriage are legitimate in most states. Now jurisdiction, and this is where our opening lives. The power to end the marital status comes from domicile. At least one spouse must be domiciled in the state, physically present with the intent to make it home. Most states add a residency requirement, commonly 6 weeks to a year. Ending a marriage is treated like an action over a thing, the marital status, located where a spouse is domiciled. So a court can grant the divorce even if the other spouse is far away and never served there. That is an ex parte divorce, and every state must honor it. But ending the status is not the same as ordering someone to pay. To divide property or order alimony against an absent spouse, the court needs personal jurisdiction over that spouse, minimum contacts, long arm service, or their appearance. Without it, the divorce is divisible. The court can validly declare the couple single and still have no power to reach the absent spouse's wallet, which is exactly Nadia and Theo. Olympia may grant the divorce, and Columbia must recognize the two are single. But with no personal jurisdiction over Theo, Olympia cannot order alimony or split the house. Nadia must pursue the money in Columbia, where Theo can be reached. One marriage, two forums. Two limits ride along. Another state may refuse to honor the divorce if the filing spouse was not truly domiciled. But appearance binds. If the absent spouse appeared and had a full chance to contest domicile, that issue is settled and cannot be attacked later. Briefly, temporary orders, what the Latin calls pendente lite. Courts set interim support, temporary custody, who stays in the home, and freezes on assets. They expire at the final decree. Job 2, dividing the property. In 9 community property states, property earned by either spouse's labor during the marriage is owned 50-50 from the moment it is acquired. In the majority, using equitable distribution, the court divides marital property in whatever proportions are fair. Both run the same 3 steps: classify, value, distribute. Almost every property question is really a classification question. Marital property is anything acquired during the marriage by the labor or efforts of either spouse, however it is titled. A salary, a house bought with earnings, and title does not control. An asset in one spouse's name alone is still marital if it was earned during the marriage. Separate property is 5 things: what a spouse owned before the marriage, what arrived by gift, will, or inheritance, what was acquired in exchange for separate property if traceable, passive appreciation from market forces, and whatever a valid agreement designates as separate. Test that second one. During the marriage, a wife's aunt dies and leaves her $80,000. She puts it in an account in her own name, spends none of it, and it stays traceable. Marital or separate? Separate. an inheritance to one spouse is separate even though it arrived mid-marriage. Timing alone does not make it marital. But separate property can lose that character two ways. Commingling, where separate funds mix with marital funds until they cannot be traced. And transmutation, where spouses retitle separate property into joint names, which many states treat as a presumptive gift to the marital estate. Appreciation splits by cause. Passive growth stays separate. Active appreciation from marital labor or funds is marital. So Lena owns a rental house before the marriage. During the marriage, joint earnings renovate it and her spouse manages it, roughly doubling the value. The original value stays Lena's. The increase gets divided. Step 3. Distribute. And equitable does not mean equal. The court weighs the length of the marriage, each spouse's income and earning potential, contributions to acquiring the property, and economic circumstances afterward. Also, dissipation, and in many states, marital fault. And a homemaker who never earned a paycheck is a full economic contributor. A few special assets. Retirement benefits earned during the marriage are marital and divisible, vested or not, and a private plan is split using a qualified domestic relations order that pays the ex-spouse directly. Enterprise goodwill, tied to the business itself, is generally marital. Personal goodwill, tied to one spouse's reputation, is excluded in many states. And marital debts are divided too. Now, one that surprises people. A wife works two jobs to put her husband through medical school, and they divorce the year he finishes. Is the medical degree divisible property? No. The modern rule, now essentially universal, is that a degree is not property. Its value is too speculative. Her contribution is recognized instead through reimbursement alimony. Job 3. Spousal support. Alimony is not automatic and not a punishment. Its job is to address the economic fallout of divorce, especially where one spouse gave up earning power for the marriage. 2. Anchor questions. Need and ability to pay. The Uniform Marriage and Divorce Act, Section 308, makes that a threshold. A court may grant maintenance only if the spouse seeking it lacks sufficient property to meet reasonable needs and cannot support themselves through appropriate employment. Only then does it set amount and duration. Know the types because the type controls what can happen later. Temporary, during the divorce. Rehabilitative, the modern default, time limited so the recipient can train and become self-supporting. Reimbursement, repaying a spouse who put the other through school. Permanent, for a long marriage where self-support is unrealistic. And lump sum, a fixed total treated like a property settlement. Flag that last one. Lump sum alimony is a vested debt. It does not terminate on remarriage or death, and it cannot be modified. One current rule, because the old one is a trap. For decades, alimony was deductible for the payer and taxable to the recipient. That flipped. Under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, for any divorce instrument executed after December 31, 2018, alimony is neither deductible nor taxable. The payor bears the tax. Now, the payoff of keeping the three jobs separate, and it is a favorite exam pivot. Property division is final. Once the decree splits the assets, that division does not reopen because someone's fortunes change. Alimony is different. Periodic and permanent alimony can be modified up or down on a substantial and continuing change that was not anticipated. An involuntary job loss, a serious illness, but a voluntary bad faith drop, quitting a job to dodge alimony, earns no reduction. And periodic alimony ends on events. Death of either spouse terminates future payments. Remarriage of the recipient terminates it automatically in most states, with no need to return to court. Cohabitation does not, though many states let the payer move to reduce it. Watch it work. A court orders Marcus to pay Dana $2,000 a month in periodic alimony. 2 years later, Dana remarries, and in most states the obligation ends that day. Now change the award to a $60,000 lump sum payable over 5 years. Her remarriage changes nothing. Last, enforcement. Alimony and child support are duties, not ordinary debts. So a spouse who willfully refuses to pay while able can be held in civil contempt and even jailed until they comply. A pure property division debt is enforced like any judgment instead. Liens, garnishment, execution. Across state lines, full faith and credit requires other states to honor the decree. And the Uniform Interstate Family Support Act sets up a one-order controls system. And a final decree can be reopened where a spouse hid assets or committed fraud on the court. A word on authorities. This episode named no cases, and that was deliberate. The exam gives you a fact pattern and asks what result the rule produces, not case names. The frameworks here come from the Uniform Marriage and Divorce Act, a widely followed model statute, and from the Full Faith and Credit Clause. If you keep only three things, keep these. The three jobs, because a court can have power to do one without the others. Void versus voidable, because it decides who may challenge a marriage and when. And property is final, while support is modifiable, because that pivot decides a whole family of questions. Now, the traps. Straight from the examiner's favorites. 1. Do not treat a valid ex parte divorce as if it also decided alimony and property. Check for personal jurisdiction separately. 2. Do not confuse void with voidable. Void is a nullity anyone may attack at any time. Voidable is valid until annulled, only the parties, only in life, and ratifiable. 3. Title does not control classification, and separate property stays separate unless commingled beyond tracing or transmuted. 4. A professional degree is not divisible property. Reach for reimbursement alimony instead. 5. Equitable means fair, not automatically equal. 6. Never let a fact pattern reopen a property division. It is final. Only support is modifiable. 7. Lump sum alimony looks like support, but behaves like property. No modification and no termination on remarriage or death. 8. Remarriage of the recipient ends periodic alimony automatically in most states. Cohabitation usually does not and requires a motion. And a self-inflicted income drop is not the substantial change that justifies a reduction. 9. Do not apply the pre-2019 alimony tax rule to a current divorce. Time for the quick check. And this one comes straight from the Bargo Question Bank. 3 years ago, a divorce decree divided a couple's marital property, awarding the family home and most of the savings to one spouse and periodic alimony to the other. Since then, the payer has received a very large and permanent raise. The alimony recipient returns to court asking for two things: to increase the monthly alimony because of the payer's higher income, and to reopen the original property division to get a larger share of the savings. Which request can the court entertain? Option 1. Both. Because the payer's finances have materially and permanently changed. Option 2. The alimony increase, but the property division is final and cannot be reopened. Option 3. The property division may be reopened, but the periodic alimony cannot be changed. Pause here if you want a moment. The answer is option 2. Property division is final. Once the decree splits the assets, that allocation is res judicata, and it does not reopen just because someone's fortunes later change. Periodic alimony is different.
it can be modified up or down on a substantial and continuing change, and a large permanent raise qualifies. Option 1 treats the property division as modifiable, which it never is. Option 3 inverts the rule exactly, freezing support and reopening property. Keep the three jobs separate, and this question answers itself. There are 30 plus more questions on this topic alone, each option explained like that. 5 things to take away. 1. A court does 3 separate jobs, and it can have power to do one without the others. 2. Domicile plus residency grants the divorce and earns full faith and credit. Ordering an absent spouse to pay takes personal jurisdiction over that spouse. 3. Void is a nullity from the start that anyone may attack at any time. Voidable is valid until annulled, attackable only by a party, only during life, and lost by ratification. 4. Title never controls. Classify first, and a degree is not property. 5. Property division is final. Periodic alimony is modifiable on a substantial continuing change, and it ends on death or the recipient's remarriage. Lump sum alimony behaves like property, so it does neither, which is why Theo is single in every state in the country and does not owe Nadia a dollar until she sues him where he lives. Next time, custody and parenting. Practice this topic with more than 2,900 exam-style questions, free to start, at nextgenbargo.com.
This episode is for education and exam preparation only, not legal advice, and we are not affiliated with or endorsed by the NCBE or any bar examining authority.